Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 2nd of August, Poland grants a humanitarian visa to a sprinter from Belarus who refused her team's order to fly home early from the Olympics. Dozens of churches throughout Canada are the objects of attacks ranging from vandalism to arson. And Pope Francis sends a message to young people gathered for an international prayer meeting in Medjugorje. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. Poland says it has granted a humanitarian visa to a sprinter from Belarus who refused her team's order to fly home early from the Olympic Games. The offer is expected to lead to asylum in the European Union nation. As Stefan Boss reports, it comes amid growing political and social turmoil in Belarus.
As night fell in then rainy Tokyo, reporters and supporters awaited news from the Polish embassy, where a Belarusian athlete is now hiding. The 24-year-old sprinter Kristina Timanovskaya was at the embassy Monday after spending the night in a hotel under protection from Japanese police. Polish Foreign Ministry official Marcin Tridacz said Timanovskaya has been offered a humanitarian visa and is free to pursue her sporting career in Poland if she so chooses. Timanovskaya said in a statement on social media that she was forcibly taken to the airport for criticizing state-backed coaches and voiced fears for her safety. I asked the International Olympic Committee to help me, she says. I was put under pressure and they are trying to take me out of the country without my consent forcibly. So I asked the IOC to intervene. The spokesperson of the International Olympic Committee, Mark Adams, suggested to reporters that the IOC and organizers of the Tokyo 2020 Games had been concerned about her safety.
She assured us and has assured us that she feels safe and secure. She spent the night at an airport hotel in a safe and secure environment. The IOC and Tokyo 2020 will continue their conversations with her and the Japanese authorities to determine the next step in the upcoming days.
However, Belarus says she was removed from the team because of what it called her emotional state. Timanovskaya's case resembles incidents during the Cold War when scores of athletes escaped the then communist-run Soviet Union and satellite states. Belarus, a former Soviet republic, is ruled by authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko, who has reportedly jailed athletes for links to pro-democracy protests. In addition, a growing number of people try to escape Belarus. However, the country has also been accused of putting pressure on the European Union by encouraging illegal migration from its territory into the EU. European officials on Monday pledged millions of euros to neighbor Lithuania to help it tackle a migrant crisis that Brussels blames on the government of President Lukashenko. So far this year, nearly 4,000 people were detained in Lithuania. That compares with 81 for the whole of 2020. More than two-thirds of the arrivals are Iraqi citizens. Belarus allegedly uses migrants to put pressure on the EU. Minsk is furious that Brussels imposed sanctions on Belarus to protest President Lukashenko's crackdown on dissent. Mass anti-government protests broke out after last year's disputed presidential election that Lukashenko claims he won. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
In the past several months, dozens of churches throughout Canada have been the objects of attacks ranging from vandalism to arson, with at least 10 churches being completely destroyed by deliberately set fires. Christopher Wells has more.
Police in the Canadian city of Vancouver have noted a marked increase in acts of vandalism against churches since the beginning of June, with 13 incidents, including rocks thrown at windows, graffiti, and threats of arson. In the neighboring suburb of Surrey, the Coptic Orthodox Church of St. George was destroyed by fire on July 19th, just days after an earlier arson attempt failed. The incidents are part of a larger trend of violence against churches in Canada. 21 churches have been set on fire in recent months, with at least 10 being completely destroyed. Dozens of other churches have been vandalized or desecrated throughout the country. Many of the attacks appear to be related to outrage against Christian churches for their role in the residential school system, which saw indigenous children taken from their homes and families and placed in schools aimed at isolating them from their native culture. At the end of May of this year, about 200 unmarked graves were discovered at the site of a residential school in Kamloops, British Columbia, drawing attention to the fate of thousands of Native children forced into the system. Subsequently, hundreds of unmarked graves have been discovered at other schools, with many more still to be uncovered. Indigenous leaders have spoken out against the attacks on churches. Destroying property will not help us build the peaceful, better, and accepting Canada we all want and need, said Assembly of First Nations Grand Chief Perry Bellegarde. He added, I believe in processes that unite rather than divide. In a statement earlier this month, the Archdiocese of Vancouver likewise emphasized the importance of dialogue. The right path forward is one of reconciliation, dialogue, and atonement with Indigenous peoples, and I'm following the way they would lead us in that process, the statement read. I'm Christopher Wells.
An armed resistance group opposed to Myanmar's military junta in the western state of Chin has abducted a Catholic priest and a catechist travelling with him. The group has accused the priest of being in league with security forces. The local bishop has appealed for their release. Robin Gomes reports.
Members of the Chinland Defence Force, CDF, seized Father Noel Hrang Tin Thang along with a catechist while they were travelling from Surkhua town to Chin state capital Hakha on July the 26th, UK News reported. Both belong to Our Lady of the Rosary Parish in Surkhua in Hakha Diocese. Bishop Lucius Hre Kung of Hakha has called for their release, expressing concern for their safety and well-being nearly a week after their abduction. I call on the concerned leaders of the CDF to immediately release them, Bishop Ray Kung said in a letter released on August the 1st. Local Catholics have also expressed concern and said prayers for the immediate release of the cleric and the catechist. Father Tin Thang has been helping numerous displaced people, including the elderly women and children who took refuge in the parish following clashes in early June, according to sources. Following the letter of Bishop Ray Kung, the CDF said the priest and catechist were in good health. The group accused the priest of giving information to the military junta, getting medical support from the junta, and urging locals to receive the junta's support. The group said it had warned the clergy not to contact the military security force, and they had to arrest Father Tin Thang as he failed to comply. We will release them only after our demands of transferring the priest from Surkhua to Hakha and signing letters of recommendation from two church leaders are fulfilled, the group said. Father Paul Thra Kyo, a priest of Hakha Diocese, told the Vatican's Fides news agency that the CDF has seen Father Tin Thang having contacts with a general of the army. He explained that the general, who is a Catholic and attends masses, often went to the priest's residence. In fact, Father Tin Thang asked the general to avoid violence. I am Robin Gomes.
Bishops in the US have welcomed government efforts to evacuate and save Afghan nationals who helped US troops during the two decades of US military campaign in Afghanistan. They insist that the sacrifices that these people have made should not go unacknowledged. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Bishops in the U.S. have hailed government efforts to provide refuge for Afghans who assisted U.S. forces during the 20-year-long war in Afghanistan. The Biden administration launched Operation Allies Refuge, an initiative to relocate thousands of Afghans who worked as interpreters and translators during the military campaign and who now fear for their safety. In a statement, the bishop said that they are proud to have the opportunity to welcome and assist those who have kept Americans safe in Afghanistan, because by working with the U.S., each of these individuals have put their lives and those of their families and friends at risk. The many sacrifices that they have made, the bishops insisted, should not go unacknowledged. Since 2001, the U.S. has been involved in a military campaign in Afghanistan and later Iraq. During that time, thousands of Afghans and Iraqi citizens have assisted U.S. troops, humanitarian personnel and diplomats in the region by providing interpretation, translation, transportation, security and other vital services, often at great risk to themselves and their families. In 2006, U.S. Congress authorized a bipartisan humanitarian program to provide special immigration visas for these helpers. In July 2021, Congress also passed an Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Bill allocating over $1 billion for humanitarian support and assistance for them and authorizing an additional 8,000 visas for the program. Following this, the first group of 200 Afghans promised refuge by the Biden-led administration for helping the U.S. during the two-decade war in Afghanistan arrived on American soil on Friday. In the statement, the bishops welcomed the opportunity to partner with the government and other Catholic charities to ensure the warm welcome, safe relocation and resettlement of those who have greatly contributed to the U.S. The bishops held up the church's teaching that each person is created in the image and likeness of God and thus we must uphold their inherent dignity. More so, they concluded, Pope Francis has emphasized welcoming the newcomer, saying that it is an invitation to overcome our fears so as to encounter the other, to welcome, to know, and to acknowledge him or her. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Australia's Queensland state on Monday extended a COVID-19 lockdown in Brisbane. Soldiers also began patrolling Sydney to enforce stay-at-home rules as Australia struggles to stop the highly contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus spreading. Queensland said it had detected 13 new locally acquired COVID-19 cases in the past 24 hours, the biggest one-day rise the state has recorded in a year. And finally, Pope Francis has sent a message to young people gathered at Mladfest, the annual international prayer meeting being held from the 1st to the 6th of August in Medjugorje in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Encouraging them to follow the example of Mary, the Pope calls on the youth to believe in the fullness and true happiness that giving oneself to God brings. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
The guiding theme of the youth festival underway in Medjugorje until August 6th is, What must I do to inherit eternal life? They cite the words of the rich young man of whom the Synoptic Gospels speak when he set out, or rather ran, to meet the Lord to inquire about gaining eternal life, that is, happiness. Pope Francis sent his good wishes to the participants with a message offering some reflections on the theme. Mladfest, the Pope reminds his readers, is in fact a week of prayer and encounter with Jesus Christ, especially in his living word, in the Eucharist, in adoration, and in the sacrament of reconciliation. The Pope recalled that the young man recounted in the Gospels was educated and very knowledgeable and motivated with a healthy restlessness that urged him to seek true happiness. Eternal life, the good for which he yearns, the Pope writes, requires going through various stages of maturation. The first step indicated by Jesus is concrete love for one's neighbor, not the love given simply by the observance of precepts, rather a gratuitous and total love. For this reason, as a second step, Jesus suggests moving from a logic of merit to one of giving, the Pope notes. Jesus changes the perspective. He invites the young man not to think of securing the afterlife, but to give everything in this earthly life, thus imitating the Lord. The third step that Jesus proposes to the young man marks a radical choice, the Pope observed, when Jesus asks him, Come, follow me. It's a matter of being disciples of Jesus, which means not imitating him outwardly, but conforming to him deep in our hearts in order to receive, in return, a rich and happy life. In conclusion, the Pope encouraged the participants to look to Mary, the great example of the imitation of Christ, and entrust themselves to her who, with her affirmative response, Here I am, answered unreservedly to the Lord's call. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks goes to our studio team in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.